Pastor asked me about, I think it was about 5 months ago. When I say 5 months, I know that because it's the beginning of the year. You guys know Pastor, he's very organized, so I can pretty much say 5 months ago he asked me towards the beginning of the year if I would preach this Sunday. And I don't know about y'all, but it seems like the craziest week or the most trying week that I've had of the whole year has been this past 7 days. I don't know if that's exactly how God planned it. I guess it is, but that's the way it happened. And so I feel very inadequate. I feel very tried this week. I heard a story about a man who was driving home, and he saw a lady whose car had broke down on the side of the road with the hood up. And so he pulled over to talk to her, see if she needed help. And as he pulled over, he got out and spoke to her for a little bit, looked at the engine of the car, got inside, looked at the inside of the car, kind of went back and forth. He went back to the lady and said, "Ma'am," he said, "there's not a thing wrong with this car. It's just out of gas." Her response was, "Well, would it hurt me to drive it home like this?" She didn't understand what it meant just to be out of gas. And loved ones, I tell you what, I feel like that this morning. I kind of feel emotionally, physically, I feel, in a sense, out of gas this morning. So I ask for your prayers, to keep me in your prayers. I guess this is where God wants us, right? He wants us completely dependent upon Him. I joke sometimes and I say, God sometimes, or often, whenever I bring a message, He often makes it real in my life. And I guess that's to make it real and when I'm standing up here. And I joked to myself, I said, you know what, I'm going to bring a message. I'm going to prepare a message on how to be a blessing when God brings tremendous amounts of money in your life or something of that nature. Because it seems like whatever subject or whatever topic that God or portion of scripture that I began to study, it seems like I almost go through a trial in my life or an experience in my life where God makes it really real, if you would. So I ask you to keep me in your prayers. And actually, let's go ahead and pray right now. Dear Lord, just thankful for being able to wake up this morning and be here this morning. Lord, I pray that you help me this morning. I pray you just hide me behind your cross. And there's nothing that I'm going to say that's going to be of any value. But Lord, I pray that you help me as I stumble through this morning, just to share your word with your people. Lord, help us to look what you have for us. Help us to gain a deeper understanding, Lord, and just to see how simple your word is and see how much we have to gain from it. Lord, we're so thankful that you thought enough of us to die on the cross for our sins, thought enough of us to give your son to die for our sins. Lord, we didn't deserve it. And so, Lord, I pray that you help us here today to realize that and to be thankful for the truly great blessing that you've given to us. In your name I pray. Amen. You know, one of the things I noticed about being a parent, and I guess I didn't have to be a parent to notice this, but whenever we sit down to eat supper, there are certain things on the dinner plate that seem to go faster than others, and I guess it maybe not changes as an adult. There are certain things that seem to, we have no problem getting the kids to eat pizza, other stuff like that. But it's always like the green beans and the broccoli that stay there, and we have to almost go through a bargaining system. Well, if you eat this many green beans, you can be done. Or if you eat this many bites of this, you can be done. And so this morning, I guess I would kind of liken the sermon this morning to something like that. It's not going to be the pizza. It's not going to be the chicken. It's not going to be the stuff that you like and you say, oh yeah, that's good stuff. But it's still the stuff that we kind of need, right? It's just, it seems like it's the stuff that we need that we don't really want. Does that make sense? The stuff that we need the most is not something that we want to just go and talk about or go through. But I'm thankful that the Bible covers everything. I'm thankful that God's word is so plain and so simple that we just simply start it, read it from cover to cover, and we'll go over everything. We'll find strength for everything. We'll find God's word for everything. And we'll find exactly what we need without having to pick or choose. So this morning, if you would, turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter number 12, if you would. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. One of the things I'm thankful is that God puts men's lives in the Bible that we can look, we can read, we can understand, and we can look at their examples and see what they went through and kind of use that to help us as we go through things this morning, or as we go through it in our lives, if you would. What I want to talk to you about tonight is the subject of suffering or pain. Now, that's not a good subject, right? That's not a subject that we want to talk about mostly. I don't really go around and want to talk about pain. It's something that we know is real, we know is there, but we don't really want to deal with it. But the Bible deals with all subjects. The Bible deals with everything. And so it's important for us, I think, to look at what the Bible says about suffering and pain. You know, as Christians, or being a Christian, it doesn't exempt us, or it's not a vaccine from pain. We know as long as we live in this life, we're going to have pain. We're going to have trials. We're going to endure suffering. If being a Christian would exempt us from pain, then everyone would be Christians for the exact wrong reason, wouldn't they? Everyone would say, hey, I'm a Christian. If I can don't have to go through pain, I'll be a Christian. I can do that. But you see, being a Christian doesn't take pain away. It doesn't take suffering away. In a sense, sometimes it may bring more pain and suffering on from the world, more criticism from the world. But I want us to look at the Apostle Paul. And if we look at a man in the Bible, if we were to pick a man out and say, what kind of man can we find that follows God and is a good example? I think the Apostle Paul would be a good example. He tells us, of all sinners, he was chief. But we also look at his life and see that he was a committed, dedicated Christian. No, he wasn't perfect. We know that. But we know that he was a good man of God, and we know he was a good Christian. So if we look, we look at the life of Paul and know how much of a godly life that he led. But I want us to start in verse 7. It says, unless I should be exalted above measure, though in abundance of revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I sought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of God may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. We don't want to deal with pain. If you asked me if I could sign a piece of paper right now saying I never want to go through pain the rest of my life, I'd sign it. If I could give it a certain amount of money so I wouldn't have to go through pain and suffering, I would do whatever I had to in order to not have to go through that. We don't, or at least I don't. I don't enjoy pain. I don't enjoy trials, but they are a part of our life. We read right here where the Apostle Paul had a thorn in his flesh. Now, I don't know, and I don't think it tells us exactly what it was. There are some people who believe may have been his vision. His vision was going bad. But we don't know with 100% certainty what this thorn in his flesh was. Maybe it was something that caused a great amount of physical pain. Maybe it was his eyesight. But whatever it was, we know that it was a thorn in his flesh. Loved ones, I don't know your situation this morning, but maybe you have a thorn in the flesh. Maybe there's something physically that you are struggling with. Maybe there's something emotionally, maybe there's something that you have going on that is a thorn in your side. And you've taken it to God. And you say, well, what do I do? What do I do? I've taken it to God. Where do I go with this? Maybe you don't have that. Give it time. You probably will. I guess that's not too encouraging, right? But it's true. Give it time. You probably will. What do we do when we have pain in our life? What do we do when we have a thorn, as the Apostle Paul says here, a thorn in his flesh? Well, we look at the Apostle Paul. He was very adamant about what he did. He says in verse 8, he says, for this thing I besought the Lord thrice that it might depart from me. Does what every Christian should do, right? I think my mic went out. What every Christian should do is what? He took his matters to God. He took his prayer request to God. You know, a lot of times we waste time going everywhere else. We want to find an answer to our pain. We want to try to do the best we can. We do everything else, but simply go to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Loved ones, I'm telling you something. We don't need to go anywhere else first. We need to go to God first. The Apostle Paul went to God and prayed to God. How many times? The Bible says three times. How many times, I thought it was kind of interesting, how many times did Jesus ask for the cup to be removed from God when he went to the Garden of Gethsemane? Three times. He asked that the cup be removed from him three times. And then only then, after he asked three times, he said, not my will, but your will be done. I found it in my studies that they say the Jewish culture, it's a habit of praying for things in times of three. Praying three times for things of necessity. Loved ones, I don't think this was simply, Lord, I have a thorn in my flesh, please take it away. That's good enough. Lord, I got a thorn in my flesh, please take it away. I believe that he earnestly, probably painfully, requested that God take this thorn away. He desired for this to be done. Guys, you know what I'm talking about. There's times where you've taken things to God where you desire them to be done. You guys know as well as I do, not all prayers are the same. What I mean by that is sometimes you're serious about your prayers, and sometimes you're serious about your prayers. Now, we should always be serious, but the Apostle Paul earnestly took this to God. He sought the Lord three times and asked him to remove this from his life.
ask God to remove it. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9, we want to see the answer. You ready? Verse 9, he says, "And he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee." You see, the Lord heard the first request. Amen. God hears our prayers. The Lord heard the second request. The Lord even heard the third request. In our minds, we think, God didn't answer the prayer request, did he? He still had this thorn in his flesh. Our minds would think he didn't answer it. But I want to tell you something. No is just as much of an answer as yes is. Am I right? It may not be the answer we want, but no is just enough answer, just as much of an answer as yes is. I've learned this from my kids. They wear me down a lot. Dad, can I have this? No. Can I have it now? No. Can I have this now? No. Can I have this now? No. And that's just the first 5 seconds. And you go to the store, you know exactly what I'm talking about. Now, no, now, no. And I'm going to tell you something. They don't understand no as being no. They understand no as, let me ask again. Maybe he didn't hear me. I'm going to ask you guys this. Do we treat God the same way? We ask God for a certain thing and it doesn't happen. We think, well, maybe he just didn't hear me. Maybe I just need to ask again. Maybe I need to ask again. Maybe I need to ask again. I'm going to tell you something, and I don't know if this is the flesh speaking, but when my kids continue to ask me and they don't listen, I get to a point where I say, guys, you ask me again, you're going to get a spanking. You ask me again, you're not listening to me. There are going to be consequences to follow. Do we not listen to God when he answers us? Just because it's not what we want, do we say, well, maybe he just didn't hear me. Guys, that can happen with me as a dad. But God is perfect. He hears our request. He hears them at all times. And so no is just as much an answer as yes is. Only sometimes we keep on and keep on and keep on. But what was God's answer? Verse 9, he says, "And he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee." My grace is sufficient. What is grace? Unmerited divine assistance. God's unmerited divine assistance is sufficient. Sufficient means enough to meet the needs of a situation. God's grace, no matter what situation we're going into or that we're in, no matter what thorn or pain may be in our side, is sufficient. Do you believe that this morning? Do you believe God's grace is sufficient for whatever we have? You see, the Lord answered the Apostle Paul's prayer. He said, I can take care of it. My grace will be sufficient for what you have. I can, think about this, think of the simplest terms you can put it in, because that's the way I think. God says, I can meet those needs. Whatever you're going through, I can meet those needs. Do you believe that God can meet your needs? Guys, sometimes I think that we don't really break it down and simplify it as much as we can. You're taking something to God, and you don't think he's answering, or not answering the way you want to, or you don't understand why a pain is being allowed in your life. If you don't think God hears you, it's because you don't, or if you don't think God's answering the way you want, it's because you don't believe God can take care of whatever he has allowed. God can take care of it. Levels, I'm here to tell you, God can take care of it. May not be in the way we want, but he can. You think about the different men and women of the Bible. They went through different situations. David was sustained, and God was sufficient as he was running from King Saul. He was sufficient to protect him and give him victory over David or Goliath. We want to think about these things, the victories, right? But what about Stephen when he was stoned? Was God's grace sufficient then? Yeah, we don't want to think about that, though. Or at least I don't want to think about that. I don't want to think about the death. I don't want to think about that side of it. But God's grace was just as sufficient for Stephen when he had to die for standing up for Jesus Christ as it was for David when he delivered him. Wherever God takes us, whatever situation is allowed, whatever pain or thorn in our side there may be, God's grace is sufficient for us. You see, there's a much better way that God knows for our life. He understands which way we're going. He understands how to be sufficient. I was reading a quote by Charles Spurgeon. He said after a long day, he was on his way home, and he was tired and depressed or kind of discouraged. And he said out of nowhere, he just started laughing. He's all by himself. He said he started laughing because he thought of this. He thought, you know what? Me thinking that God can't take care of a certain situation is like a man standing on the top of a mountain and saying, I'm kind of worried or concerned that I'm going to breathe up all the oxygen that the atmosphere has to offer. You see, we don't really give God credit. We pray to an almighty God. We want to believe we have an almighty God. But do we believe an almighty God is sufficient to meet our needs? It's a question I have to ask myself as well. Amen. God allowed Paul to go through this test. He allowed this pain to to remain in Paul's life, this thorn in his side for a purpose, for a reason. He wanted to allow him to be tested, but he also wanted the Apostle Paul to understand and learn that his grace is sufficient. You know, we can all, how do I put it this way? We can all read about different things. I know a lot about roller coasters. I like to read I'll read about certain things. I like to learn how things work. I've watched plenty of TV shows on roller coasters where they go to an amusement park. But me personally, I don't like roller coasters, okay? I don't think anyone in their right mind really should like roller coasters. Angie, well, I got to correct that. She likes roller coasters, so she's in her right mind. She likes her roller coasters. But I don't like roller coasters personally. But I remember a couple years ago, we went to Silverado City, and I got on the one that kind of goes up, and or it goes up or around and around twice. Won't do it again, but I did it. I was so thankful for that little bar that comes down and holds me in. I was so thankful for that. And you know what? I knew it did that. I knew it was designed to do that. But I was more thankful after I went around and it was dependent upon that bar. I was more thankful after having gone through it. I kind of went through it and learned and said, you know what? If I never have to do that again, I'm probably better off. But I was thankful that I learned the value of it. You know, we can sit here and say, yeah, God is great. God is sufficient. God will answer our prayers. God will answer our needs. But wait till you go through something like that. Wait till God's mercy and God's grace is all you have. And it's sufficient for you. You'll learn a whole new value upon that. There's a man I read about, a pastor who would go read the Bible to two elderly women. And as he would read it to them, one day he was reading in Matthew 28:20. He said, "Lo, I am with you always, even on the end of the world." And he said, "Isn't that just a great promise? Such a great promise." And he said, one of the ladies looked at him and said, "Young man, that's not a promise, that's a fact." Guys, we take God's promises and say, that's a great thing. But they're more than a promise. They're not something that can be broken. They're not something that ever will be broken, but they are facts. God says it, we can believe it. God's grace is sufficient for us. Now, that's all well and good. But let's look at the next part of the next part of the verse. It says, "For my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness." My strength is made perfect in weakness. You see, God had a design for Paul's life. There was a certain thing that God was allowing in Paul's life to bring about something else. You see, I believe God allows trials, pain, suffering in our life to accomplish something greater than we ever know, to accomplish something more than we probably would want to go through ourselves. I remember growing up as a kid, my mom would do, and maybe some of you guys do it, I don't know if you still do it, but she used to do cross stitch. Did anyone ever do that? The cross stitch where you'd sew through there? And I remember at the end of it, you could watch her do it, and the bottom side of the cross stitch, it was just a horrible mess. Strings everywhere, knots that were tied off. But then she would turn over the front of it, I guess you'd say, and it was a beautiful picture that had different colors and different words, and all somehow, these little X's all somehow made a beautiful picture. Guys, when we look at the pain, or when you're in the middle of pain and suffering in your life, you don't see how it's all going to work out. And you may not want to see how it's going to work out. But God's grace, which is sufficient, will work things out. There is something that God is allowing in our life for a purpose. He says, "In our weakness, he is made strong." In our weakness. Now, that kind of goes opposite. Weakness is not a word that I like, or humanly speaking, that I think any of us really like. None of us say, hey, when our kids grow up, you want to be weak, you want to be run over, you want to just have people take advantage of you. No one would say that. As human beings, we want to be strong. We want to be independent. We want to be able to do things on our own. It's not fun having to be dependent upon people. It's not fun having to wait on people to help you out. It's not a thing that we want. We grow up our whole lives, we're learning to be more independent, or we want to be more self-sufficient in doing things on our own. But you see, it's when we are dependent upon God that we truly learn about his grace and how it is sufficient for us. We're independent. This church is an independent Baptist church. That's fine. But we need to be dependent Christians, first and foremost. We need to be dependent upon the Lord Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Now, this is the best, well, I don't say the best part. This is the part that I like of the verse, okay? I always like the action parts, okay, where it kind of brings us to a point. It says, I'll start with the first part of verse 9. It says, "And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness." Now this part right here, "Most gladly therefore will I rather glory in mine infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me." Here I think we see the action of the verse. "Most gladly therefore will I glory in my infirmities. The Apostle Paul kind of comes to this situation. He has a thorn in his side. He's realized that God has answered his prayer by saying no and allowing him to go through this pain, this thorn in the flesh. And now he comes to a point where he has to make a choice. He was already a Christian, but his choice is this. Will he trust God in the answer? And doing so, how will he go about it? His choice is what? He can say, no, I don't believe you, God. No, I don't think your grace is sufficient. No, I don't think you can take me through this. Or he can accept it. We see that the Apostle Paul is, and this is a good word, ready? Satisfied with the answer he's given. He's satisfied. When my kids keep asking me for something time and time again, they're not satisfied with the first answer. That's why they keep asking. Guys, let's be satisfied with whatever answer Christ gives us. When we're going through something, let's be satisfied with what he gives us and be willing to go through it. He says, most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities. He's satisfied with the answer. Ooh, and this is a good one too. He said, I will glory in my infirmities. You know how sometimes when you tell your kids something, you say, you need to do this, they give them the answer, they shrug their shoulders over, okay, I'll do it. And you know they're just doing it just because they have to. You know they're just doing it just because there's no other choice, just because they're being made to do it. Christians, are we like that? Okay, God, I'll do it just because I have to. Just because I'm a Christian, I feel like I should be coming to church. Just because I'm a Christian, I'll do this stuff that I'm supposed to do. Now, I'm just as guilty as everyone here. And maybe you guys aren't guilty, so maybe I should say I'm the guilty one. But the Apostle Paul just didn't say, hey, I'm just going to do it because that's what I'm supposed to do. He said, most gladly. When he decided to follow God's will, when he decided to be satisfied with the answer, his choice was to go through this pain and suffering gladly. He was going to go through it because he knew that's what God wanted. He gladly went through it. I remember there's a lady up in Rogers, Arkansas. I remember certain people in your life teach you certain things. And she had MS, and she was her body was really stricken with this disease in a bad way. She was faithful to her church services. And I remember one Sunday night, I was talking to her, and I asked her how she was doing. And she could barely walk. I asked her how she was doing, and she said, well, my whole body hurts. She was honest, but she said it with a smile on her face. My whole body hurts, this and this. She said, but it's going to hurt if I stay at home. Might as well come to church and hurt here. I tell you what, God used that at a young time in my life where I learned, you know what? We have to be satisfied with what God has given to us and be thankful and gladly go through whatever it is. I don't know what you may have going on in your life right now. I'm not sure what trial or maybe a pain physically or emotionally you may have. But let's choose to gladly go through what God has for us. Let's choose that God's grace is sufficient for us. This is the neat part of the verse 2. It says, that the power of God may rest upon me. That the power of God may rest upon me. That word in the Greek means that it has a illustration or a meaning of a tent resting upon us. That the power of God, like a tent, may rest upon us. You know, we think of the basic necessities, food, water, and shelter. Think of God's grace. Think of God's power covering us in times like this, like a tent. Tent does a lot. Protects us from the rain, gives us shelter, gives us safety, gives us security. You see, these trials, these pains, these sufferings, much like the broccoli we don't want to eat or the green beans we don't want to eat, we know they serve a purpose. We know they're there to develop us and to bring something out in us. First of all, I want you guys to think about, if you have never received Christ as your Savior, I want you to think about this. Jesus' complete work on the cross, his grace is sufficient for you. His grace, his work on the cross that he did, is sufficient to cover your sins. If you've never received Christ as your Savior, I invite you to ask him and receive his grace that is sufficient. But secondly, I want you to think about this. What about you Christians? Maybe you're going through something. Maybe physical. Maybe emotional. Maybe you have some thorn in your flesh. Are you trusting God's grace to be sufficient for you? Are you trusting God's unmerited grace that it is going to be enough to meet whatever needs there are? There's nothing out of God's control. There's nothing God can't control. Are you trusting? Have you made the choice? Are you satisfied with his answer? And are you gladly going through whatever he wants you to go through? This past week, there was a man that I know to pastor and myself was kind of a grandpa in the ministry. We grew up in the same church. His name was Pastor Bob O'Gorman, and he passed away last Saturday. And I remember it was a blessing that when we were out there, when me and Angie were out there this last time in March, we found out that he, a couple weeks prior to that, the weekend before we got out there, he found that he had cancer. And so got to go visit him before we came back. And I tell you what, there's certain men or certain God places certain people in your life, and you're thankful for them. But when I got to visit with him just a couple hours before we came back, I saw a man of God who had the same exact attitude, temperament, smile on his face, joy for God, knowing he had just found out that he had cancer. I saw a man that was no different, still loving God, still believing that God was sufficient to meet his needs. The same that I saw him that day was the same I remembered him my whole life. Guys, I'm going to tell you something. That man of God believed that God's grace was sufficient for him. That man of God believed that whatever God allowed into his life, that God was going to meet the needs. God was going to provide in whatever way he wanted to, in whatever way God chose. Loved ones, we don't know what we're going to go through, but we know that God is sufficient. He had a song that it kind of worked out good. He had a song that he was his favorite song. And I didn't plan this, but as I was studying this, sometimes I'm a little dense, and so I don't pick up on things. But he had a favorite song, and as I was reading, I was preparing this message, I thought about that the last second. And it was the song, Room at the Cross. And if you read these words, it kind of goes hand in hand. It goes, the cross upon which Jesus died is a shelter in which we can hide. And its grace so free is sufficient for me. And deep is its fountains, as wide as the sea. There's room at the cross for you. There's room at the cross for you. Though millions have come, there's still room for one. Yes, there's room at the cross for you. Guys, there's room at the cross for everyone. Whether you've received him as your Savior, God's grace is sufficient to get you through whatever it is, to meet the needs. If you've never received him as your Savior, let me plead with you today. Come to Christ. Take his sufficient grace. Receive his grace and make him your Savior. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we're thankful for you dying on the cross. And Lord, there's nothing that we can do that is of any worth that will bring us closer to you on our own, other than just receiving you as our Savior, trusting in the work that you've done. Lord, I pray if there be one here that doesn't know you as their Savior, that may be willing just to humble themselves and receive you as their Savior. And Lord, those who are saved, Lord, I pray that we're willing to go through whatever you choose to allow in our lives and to cling to the fact that you are sufficient. Lord, to cling to the fact that your grace is sufficient for us. Amen.
Amen. After you keep your heads bowed, eyes closed for a few minutes as the piano begins to play, we're just going to have a time of invitation. If God has worked in your heart in any way this morning, I encourage you to seek him out and get things settled with him. Perhaps there is one here today that is unsure of their salvation, or maybe they know that they are without Christ and they need to get things settled with him. If that's the case, just as that song says, there's room at the cross for you. The Lord will not reject you or turn you away. Seek his forgiveness, repent of your sins, and trust in him as your Savior, and you can be saved. If you have any questions, you can come down this morning and we can take God's word and show you from the Bible what salvation is and how you can